tell you about the best place to get great looking game day gear. J&J Apparel is your trusted local source for one-of-a-kind, officially licensed collegiate apparel. These guys aren't just guessing, they're living it. J&J's polos, tees, and hats show what happens when true fans design the merch. Serving Alabama, Auburn, Mississippi State, and Ole Miss fans since 2004. Get it online at jnjapparel.net. Once again, that is jnjapparel.net, the downtown Tuscaloosa location, or at trusted local stores across the Southeast. Check out J&J Apparel today. This is the Stingray Show, and coming up on this edition, we are going to talk a little college football. However, there is an event coming up in November at the Oxford Performing Arts Center that is involving Joe Nichols. And Joe Nichols, country artist, is about to join me right here on this edition of the Stingray Show to talk about his music career and his love for the Arkansas Razorbacks, plus the event that's coming up in November over in Oxford, Alabama. That is right now on this edition of the Stingray Show.
Hi, this is Tim Brando with a reminder. Those of you on Tide 100.9, look out. You're about to feel the buzz of Stingray.
This is Stephen Ray, a.k.a. Stingray, coming to you live from Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
I'm Heath Hopkins. I'm here in DeSoto County, Mississippi, right outside of Memphis, Tennessee.
You know, Mark, I'm going to put you on the spot. Do you feel that responsibility to pay it forward and give some kid a chance coming up in the ranks, kind of like Tony did for you?
Why do you think I'm talking to Stingray tonight?
Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
Heath, Stingray, Here's the deal. When you get involved with Texas, it's like getting married to a stripper. and let me explain this. It looks good, kind of sexy on the surface. Yeah, but then you get the baggage, you get the drama, you get all that eventually comes with it. And that's what you get with Texas, and that's what the Big 12 learned.
And Heath, any thoughts on our show moving forward?
Hey, to everyone in Tuscaloosa listening here on Tide 100.9, with the Stingray Show, if you don't like it, you better learn to love it, because it's the best show going today, baby. Woo!
And with that, I want to welcome you inside another edition of the Stingray Show. And my guest this evening was born in Rogers, Arkansas. He has 11 studio albums, which he just did his 11th studio album last year. To date, he has over 2 billion, with a B, audio streams, as well as 3 Grammy nominations, a CMA award, and multiple platinum and gold records, which include 4 number one singles, Broken Heartsville, Tequila Makes Her Clothes Fall Off, Give Me That Girl, and finally Sunny and 75. Please help me welcome to the Stingray Show country music artist Joe Nichols to talk about his current tour that he is on, and he has an event coming up next month at the Oxford Performing Arts Center in Oxford, Alabama. Joe, how are things with you?
Going great, man. How are you doing?
Doing fantastic, man. I'm really glad that you were able to join me. So talk a little bit about the tour that you were doing right now across the country.
Oh yeah, we're kind of getting close to winding it down. I think that weekend there, the 15th and 16th, I believe is my very last weekend of touring, and then we'll take a break until mid-January. But it's going great. Somewhere in Indiana today, I think right around Indianapolis, and last night in Des Moines, and tomorrow night in Dayton. So we're trucking.
Man, that's awesome. So talk a little bit about what the tour entails, and are you taking it to Canada and elsewhere?
Oh, yeah, we've gone about everywhere this year. I think we hit, I can't remember if it was this year or last year, we hit Norway, the Netherlands, but we've done a lot of Canada stuff. We covered every corner of the United States this year. At the end of the year, we're going to do about 70, 75 shows. And after slowing it down a little bit, like last year we did about 95, and the year before that was like 120. So kind of getting a little, want to back it down a little bit. Next year, I think we'll crank it back up over 80, 85.
All right. So you are a native of Rogers, Arkansas. Talk about your childhood, and especially when you got into your love for music and when you decided that that could potentially be a career move for you.
Well, when I was in high school, I knew I could sing a little bit, but it was really hard to join a band. You know, back, you know, when I was in high school, if you wanted to join a band, it was rock and roll, you know? So I've always sounded this way with my voice. I've always, I learned to imitate like Merle Haggard and George Jones and Randy Travis, Keith Whitley, George Strait. Those guys were all the guys I sang along with the radio. And those are the albums that I bought. And, you know, when you're, like I said, when you're in high school, it's rock band or nothing or karaoke or something. And so I just sat in with country bands wherever they would let minors in, like on a weekend or something, and did, you know, did sets there. But I knew that whether it was playing in honky tonks or playing arenas, I wanted to do that with my life because I love country music. I love playing music live. I didn't really even do it for this reason or that. You know, money and girls were always great. I love that. But I think I love playing music, performing music. I think since I was a little kid, I got an opportunity right out of high school and started my first band and then moved to Nashville when I was like 20.
So talk about what it was like early in your career up in Nashville.
Well, I'll tell you what, the 5 years that I was there before my first major label release, it was rough, man. I did a lot of, you know, odd jobs, regular jobs, just I laid concrete, which is a rough job. I appreciate anybody out there that lays concrete. That's a tough job in the summertime, especially in Nashville. I was a cable guy for a little bit. That was fun. Roof houses. I did a lot of stuff like that, you know, just paying bills, learning how to get better. On the miserable days, it will make you want to go home from work and study how to sing better, play better, write better. You know, like, man, I don't want to have many more days like this. I need to get better at what I do. And that really did help quite a bit. You know, being broke and hurting from your job will motivate you to do something different. And so that's what it did for me. And when I got my first single out there, The Impossible, everything changed. Everything changed.
And speaking of that, in July of 2002, you released your second album, which included the well-known song, The Impossible. What gave you the inspiration to write and release that song, The Impossible?
Well, The Impossible, out of the singles on that one, that's one of the ones I didn't write. I didn't write Impossible or Broken Heartsville. I wrote Cool to Be a Fool and What's a Guy Gotta Do, a little bit behind that one. But I knew that we had a special song when I cut it. It just felt like it was easy to listen to sonically, but the message of the song was so profound. At the time, we were maybe less than a year from September 11th. Mm-hmm. It was like March of 2002. And so people were feeling pretty sad, angry, and a little hopeless, and wanted messages like that, you know, like The Impossible to kind of lift everybody up. And I think that really did help quite a bit, you know, The Impossible. You know, sometimes, you know, unsinkable ships sink and sometimes unbendable steel bends. But the message of that song was hope. There is another side of this. There's going to be a great outcome here. We just keep hope. And that's what that song was, a huge song for me. But I knew that we had the song behind it that was going to be a my stamp song, what I would call my signature song, which is Broken Heartsville. And it, you know, it blew the doors off everything, sold a million records. It was number one song, got nominated for a Grammy. That was, I think, either the first time or second time I was nominated for a Grammy. Maybe The Impossible was first, and then male vocalist, I should say. And then the next year, I think Broken Heartsville got me another nomination for male vocalist. But those were big songs. That was a big album. And like I said, everything changed.
So we've got to go to our first break of the evening. And when we come back, I'm going to continue the interview with Joe Nichols, talking with him about how The Impossible and Broken Heartsville changed his life in music in Nashville. That's on the other side of the break. You're listening to The Stingray Show. Joe Nichols will continue with me right after this.
Your old pal Spooky here. Welcome you out to Spook Trail.
Spook Trail Haunted Maze is one of Alabama's longest haunts, founded in 1989 and has been running strong since then. Over a quarter mile long outdoor maze in the woods through an old junkyard, through twists and turns into the darkness. If you are looking for an extreme adventure into some of the darkest areas of your mind, then this is the place for you. Due to the nature of their paths, you will be entering at your own risk. Look up Spook Trail Haunted Maze on Facebook to see what days are going to be open. Just minutes from Birmingham and Jasper in Quinton, Alabama. And remember,
Spook Trail!
We all enjoy the changing of the seasons. Fall is a special time to be thankful for our families and many blessings. It is also a great time, though, to review your insurance coverages. Alpha Insurance and hometown agent Jeff Nee can help you personalize your insurance needs. The more you protect, the more you save. With helpful customer service teams right here to serve you in Alabama and over in Mississippi, you can count on Alpha to provide the insurance plan that provides the protection that you need. For all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs, call Alpha agent Jeff Nee at 205-758-2577 or drop by his office at 202 McFarland Boulevard East, Suite 101 in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And remember, with Jeff Nee, the more you protect, the more you save.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. We've got some busyness moving on the Tuscaloosa freeways inside your primetime rush to home. Moving on 69, both north and southbound lanes at Skyland Boulevard. You got a heavy jumble up here. Now, the northbound lanes are pretty slow back to Mimosa Park Road, and of course, those southbound lanes are going to heavy you up to 2059, even past that. Lurleen Wallace is pretty much traveling at normal speed, not seeing anything unusual between University and McFarland. With your Tuscaloosa traffic now, Tammy Thomas.
Did you miss any episode on Tide 100.9? Don't worry. All of our shows can be found on Spotify and Apple Music and on demand on the Tide 100.9 app.
Unsinkable ships sink, unbreakable walls break. Sometimes the things you think never happen, happen just like that. Unbendable steel. If the fury of the wind is unstoppable, I've learned to never underestimate the impossible.
And I want to welcome you back inside the Stingray Show, and that right there was the first hit single for my guest this evening, Joe Nichols, who is having a concert next month in Oxford, Alabama. This evening, I am conducting an interview with Joe Nichols. And before the break, we were talking about how successful that song was for him. Now let's continue talking about how that song changed his music career in Nashville. And so talk a little bit more about how that changed your life in the music industry and personally, please.
Well, it changed my life in that, you know, my ego swelled out of control immediately. You know, I had to keep that in check all the time. Where I was talking about, you know, the jobs I had before, and I was paycheck to paycheck, like 90% of the country is. And I was about that way for 3 years, you know, after I had number one songs, and, you know, I had to go spend what little money I had on a suit to go to an award show. That's honestly the truth. I didn't really make any money after maybe for 3 years after The Impossible was number one. Just the way touring goes, and, you know, when you start off in debt to a record label, it's really hard to get out of that debt. But I eventually did. And, you know, it was a funny thing, man. I lived paycheck to paycheck too for a couple of years. It was all just fame for a while. And then, you know, once I started making money, it got a lot better that way. But initially my ego was great. I was a young guy. I was, you know, interested in a lot of things, especially girls. Yeah. And, you know, that changed quite a bit.
Right. So in 2004, you spent time touring with Alan Jackson. What was that experience like? And what are some of your favorite memories of that tour?
That was the best tour. That tour and Toby Keith were fantastic tours. With Alan, it was my first big arena show tour where, you know, we'd go out and play in front of 15,000-20,000 Alan Jackson fans, and I'd do about 20 minutes. I had one song on the radio that was a hit, Impossible, and Broken Hearts, but it was kind of just breaking onto the scene. And that was 2003, I believe. And, you know, we were supposed to do like two weekends with him. And he called, you know, right after that and said, hey, how'd you like to just do the whole year? And I was like, man, that'd be time of a life, a time of my life. And so we did about a year and a half. And, you know, I saw a lot of great things. I was introduced to a lot of fans. They saw how country I was. Alan appreciated that I was a traditional guy that was kind of carrying the torch. And, you know, I believe he would have had me that long had he seen, you know, that I was kind of one of the rockier kind of pop driven kind of country music. That's just the way he is. He's a traditional country guy. And always a pleasure to be around that guy. I appreciate everything about him. The songwriting he did, you know, the country guy he was, his appreciation for real authentic music. And he called BS BS. And like I said, he gave me a chance to meet 20,000 country fans every night. That was a big deal to me.
Do you happen to have any fun stories that you could share with us about you and Alan Jackson?
You know, no, nothing. I don't have any stories to share, really. It's nothing, you know, bad or anything like that. Mm-hmm. I'm always the guy, I want to respect privacy of guys like that. You know, if we have stories that we know between the two of us, it's not like horrible stories or anything like that. Just like private conversations that you wouldn't want to, you know, I wouldn't want somebody to share all over the place. So probably okay. Not, but I can tell you that he's a really good guy and a very cerebral guy. He doesn't say much. He's not a big long talker or anything like that. And he does not think like super highly, you know, a lot of big stars like that can think really highly of themselves. And you can kind of feel that in a lot of ways. And he was not one of those guys. He is not one of those guys that kind of makes everybody know who the star is around here. And never got that feeling from him. He's a good dude.
So in June of that same year, you released your third studio album, which featured my personal favorite, What's a Guy Gotta Do? What was the inspiration behind that song? And how long did it take you to record that single?
Well, the inspiration for writing that song was, we needed something Diddy-ish. You know, we sat down with a couple ideas, me and Kelly Lovelace and Don Sampson, I believe. We were thinking about, you know, tempo, maybe a relationship type of song, a breakup song like Broken Heartsville. What do we write about? And we just kind of stumped my home is Arkansas. And so we have Walmart's big deal there. And And so we just kind of stumbled around an idea, like, hey, man, what's a guy got to do to get a girl in this town? You know, like, maybe we should write about that. Instead of a relationship song, let's make it a little younger. You know, at the time, like I said, I was just having a time in my life. You know, I was 25, 26 years old. Just, you know, every time was a story. Every time was a new experience. And so we kind of wanted to write something like that. Like, I haven't been divorced two or three times, or I haven't done a lot of this or done a lot of that. So let's write what I know. And I knew Walmart, and I knew, you know, hey, what's a guy got to do to get a girl in this town? It's pretty dead around here.
Right.
So we put Walmart in the song. Got to have that in the song since I represent. And we put Artichoke Hearts in the song. I don't think that's ever been done. Yeah, it was just a fun little song. I think initially when I wrote it, it was maybe, I wanted something Roger Miller-y. I remember kind of thinking he had these melodic hooks and simple little songs that were sometimes one or two chords, and it was a minute long, but it was a huge song. You know, he just had songs like that, and I wanted to write something Roger Miller. So we got that. A lot of singing. When you start the song, it's one big breath and one long line of singing. So, what's a guy got to do to get a girl? And for the first 30 seconds of the song, it's just one giant steady singing without a breath, you know? And so we thought about putting on the record, you know, like this big gasp right before that. But that was a lot of fun making that song, man. Almost got up there. I think at one time it was in the top five and kind of got pushed out by, I think, Live Like You Were Dying, maybe in a big Kenny Chesney song was up there. A couple of really big songs kept it from number one, but it was close. And any other, you know, normal week, it might have been a number one song.
Man, I love that song.
Thank you.
It is so awesome. And with that, we are up against yet another break on this evening. And when I return with Joe Nichols, Joe Nichols was a friend of the late Anna Nicole Smith. We are going to discuss how he met her and his friendship with Anna Nicole. That's on the other side of the break. You're listening to The Stingray Show. My interview with Joe Nichols will return right after this.
Your flagship home of Alabama sports. We are a championship school, and school is in session.
And the clock's going to run out, and Bama's going to win it, 29-22. And for the love, let's get out of here.
Join us next Saturday as the Crimson Tide take on the LSU Tigers at Bryant-Denny Stadium on your home for Alabama football.
Presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at TuscaloosaCDJR.com. And by DCH Regional Medical Center. Online at DCHSystem.com.
It's college football season, and what goes well with college football events? And if you have an event coming up and needs catering, let Certified Chef Jamie and the Coker Market do the event for you. Here are just some of the things that Coker Market have to offer for your catering needs. Pulled pork by the pound, chicken tenders by the dozen, smoked wings by the dozen, or a half a slab of ribs or a full slab of ribs. Contact Jamie and the Coker Market today, or better yet, go by there off of County Road 140 and let them help you take the hassle out of the catering needs for your event this upcoming football season. Ladies and gentlemen, Bill Ferguson of South's Finest Meats, the official sponsor of the Stingray Show, has a message for you.
Everything we do here is fresh and custom made, custom to order. You know, I tell people when they come in, you know, if you don't see what you like, ask somebody. You know, we've got the capability to process it, make it. You know, if you want a different blend of hamburger meat, we'll do your brisket blend. We'll do your chuck blend. We'll do your sirloin blend. You know, we do all that right here. We are a butcher shop. It's what we do. So please don't be afraid to ask if you don't see what you like. We can make you any size patty you want. We can make you any amount you want. You know, people come and say, well, how many patties come in the box? Well, ma'am, how many would you like in a box? You know, you want 12, we'll put 12. You want 25, we'll put 25.
That's just one of the many things that South's Finest Meats has to offer, the official butcher shop of the Stingray Show. So-
Want to jump into any of the shows? Call Tide 100.9 right now at 205-342-9904.
Will somebody answer that damn phone?
That's 205-342-9904.
Has it always been your dream to build the pond of your dreams, but you don't know if property you own or thinking about buying has a good location to build a pond on? You need to contact Honey Hole Fisheries right here in Tuscaloosa County, because Jeff Bagwell will help you decide if property you own or are thinking about buying has a good location to build a pond. You can contact Honey Hole Fisheries at 205-799-0192. Once again, that is 799-0192. And hey, Jeff Bagwell can also order top quality automatic fish and hunting feeders for all of your outdoor recreation. Contact Jeff Bagwell today, once again at 205-799-0192, to help you build the pond or lake of your dreams. For over 100 years, the Bank of Moundville has been a name clients can trust. The Bank of Moundville is more than just a bank. They're your neighbors, your friends, and your community partners. Their unique approach to financial education has always centered around families. They believe that financially strong homes today lay the foundation for a brighter future for tomorrow's generation. You can call them today at 205-371-2227. Once again, that is 371-2227 to schedule an appointment to build your financial security. The Bank of Moundville is a member FDIC and an equal housing lender.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. North on Highway 69 from Old Greensboro Road to Skyland Boulevard. It's an 8-minute drive. On eastbound I-20 from Foster's to McFarland, an 8-minute drive. Watch for ongoing construction work on Old Birmingham Highway east from 55th Avenue to Kennedy Mill Road. And if you're traveling on Lurleen Wallace from 15th Street to McFarland, it's a 5-minute drive. With your Tuscaloosa traffic now, I'm Lisa Bakke.
So, when
best place for your high school football coverage is right here on Tide 100.9 and online on Tide100.9.com.
Before we finish up on the Stingray Show, I just want to mention, just in case we do get cut off for another show this evening, I do want to mention that this entire interview can be found on my YouTube channel, The Stingray Network. So if you would like to see it in its entirety, in case we get cut off to be pushed to another show inside the trenches with Gary Harris, you can find the Joe Nichols interview on my YouTube channel, The Stingray Network. And now let's finish up what we can before we get cut off here on The Stingray Show. Welcome back inside the Stingray Show. I am conducting an interview with Joe Nichols, and this is the final segment on this edition of the Stingray Show. And now we are going to turn our attention to the world of sports and talk with Joe Nichols about who he feels like should be the head coach of the Arkansas Razorbacks moving forward, and his most fondest memory of being a Razorback football fan. So now let's talk a little college football. You are from Rogers, Arkansas, so I've got to ask you, are you a college football fan? And if so, is it Arkansas?
Yes, I am a big, huge college football fan. And yes, it is the Arkansas Razorbacks. Woo pig suey. I was born in Rogers, Arkansas, and grew up about 20 miles away from the university there. So in Arkansas, we don't have a pro team. We don't have a baseball team or a football team or anything. It's usually the Dallas Cowboys or the Kansas City Chiefs and St. Louis Cardinals. We get a couple of Cubs fans, Texas Rangers. So we got to kind of go out of the state for our major sports, but college football and college basketball, we are all in on that program. So you can understand how we are pretty unrealistic at times. We're pretty unreasonable as a fan base. You know, we can kind of get a little wild with our takes on Twitter. And when we lose, which we've been doing a lot of, you know, last 2 years, we get a little upset. And when we win, we're obnoxious. You know, it's like, it's the weirdest thing ever. You'd think we'd won championships all the time. By the way, you know, we walk around talking crap, you know, when we do win, which I think is funny. A lot of fan bases have that. A&M is kind of like that sometimes. I see them talking a lot of trash when they don't have a lot of championships to show for it. We're not, you know, none of us really are Alabama except Alabama. You know what I mean? So we all want to be, but we ain't.
So what are some of your fondest memories of being an Arkansas football fan?
Ooh, fondest memories. You know, I'll tell you what, in 2003, I believe, I went to the Texas Arkansas game at Austin. And I remember listening. I did a show at Billy Bob's the night before. And we were on our way to another show, maybe San Antonio or something. So I drove that morning into Austin and was like an 11 a.m. game or a noon game. And all through the morning drive up to the stadium, I was listening to talk radio station in Austin. And they were talking about what a beating we were about to get from Texas. They had either Chris Sims or... Now, it wasn't Applewhite. It was after Applewhite. I think Chris Sims was one of those guys, and they had a pretty good offense and really high. I think they maybe ranked number two or something at the time, and we weren't ranked. We had this guy, this new quarterback that was more of a running quarterback nobody really knew about, but he was fast. But his name was Matt Jones.
Oh, yeah.
And we had Cedric Cobbs, and we had Houston Nutt was our coach, and so everybody's like, all right, they're middle of the pack. They can be decent, but they're going to get drubbed. They're going to dragged from Texas. And I mean, I heard the biggest crap talk ever on the talk radio show in the morning. 56-3.
You must have gone through bad service, man.
I'm sorry. We're parked now, but you never know. Could be anything these days.
So just continue right there with that Texas game.
Yeah. So after all that crap talk in the morning shows and the fans walk into the stadium, it was just so obnoxious. Like I said, like all fans can be. I watched a four-quarter butt-whipping from Arkansas onto Texas. And Matt Jones kind of, everybody was like, who is this guy? This guy was just running wild all over Texas, who had a really high-ranked defense. Now, the caveat was, I knew as an Arkansas fan that they had a guy that, on their sideline, Texas sideline, that Arkansas was recruiting, but we had no shot at, a guy named Vince Young. Mm-hmm. And so I knew at some point this game is going to get so bad for Texas, they're going to put that kid in there. And he was a freshman at the time. I'm like, man, this kid is the real deal. This guy was for real. Saw him in high school. Nobody liked him. And I just kept sitting there in my seats, like, just please God, please don't let Matt Brown make this change. Just keep it the way it is. And he never did. He never put Vince Young in. I think we whooped him. It was like 38-24, but it was worse than that. I think they scored a late touchdown or something. But that's the way I remember it. It was just a beating. And I felt great all day long because as an Arkansas fan, we grow up, you know, hating Texas. Here's the funny thing. I married a Longhorn. That's a funny dynamic in our household.
All right. And Joe, I've got three questions left for you. The first one, staying with Arkansas, they are going through a coaching search right now. Sam Pittman was let go earlier this year, and Bobby Petrino is currently the interim head coach. Who do you feel like would be a perfect fit for Arkansas?
I appreciate that question. I don't know if I can say what a perfect fit is right now. Well, I can tell you what we need. We need somebody that will energize the boosters, the donors, the big money around the program, the Tyson family, the Hunt family, J.B. Hunt family, John L. Hunt, Brian Hunt, I believe.
Right.
And, you know, the Waltons, at some point, there's a couple of people in Walmart. I think McMillan is the guy's name, but there's a few people in the Walton family that I would love to have more support from the university. And a guy named Fletcher is a big guy there. We got a lot of good money donors. They just need something to really get behind and be energized by. So a coach that can come in and excite the boosters and donors, that's number one, you know, because we need NIL. We need to get the Jimmys and Joes in there, not just the X's and O's. So I've heard the name Gruden tossed around. I don't know how realistic that is, but I've always liked that guy as a coach. Great X's and O's guys, X's and O's guy, and can create a culture, I think. So would I love to have that guy? Yeah. Would everybody love to have that guy? I don't know. I feel that way about Petrino. There's nobody can argue with the offense that guy is putting on the field right now. It's like top four offense in the country. So if you have that team that's that, you know, nobody really respects at all, but they're putting up 40 points against really good defenses like A&M.
Right.
Putting up 41 points on a good defense, that can't go unnoticed. And put 40-something up against Tennessee, I believe, too. So that offense is legit. That is legit. If he could just feel the defense, you know, which is brings me back to the NIL thing. If Bobby Petrino could excite donors enough to pay for a good NIL support for a defense, I believe that's the guy. There's no doubt about it. I see what I see, and I think everybody else sees that offense is unreal good. So if Petrino can do those things, he's your guy. I've seen some names like John Sumrall from Tulane. I believe he's a great coach. I think he might be a good fit. I think a lot of teams are going to be after him. Florida's going to, you know, pay a lot of money for a great coach, I believe. If we have other openings around, I think maybe Auburn is going to be in the mix, possibly. Ironically, if Arkansas beats Auburn this week, I think that might be kind of the end for Hugh Freeze. I don't know that for sure. I hate for anybody to lose their job. But so my point is, you're going to be competing with a lot of good schools for a good head coach. So if Bobby Petrino is the worst we can do with all the names that are available out there, I feel great about our search. And I think if it landed Bobby Petrino, I'm all in. I think it's great. Let's give him some money for a defense and offense, and let's get this train rolling. I think he's capable of doing that. Like I said, as far as fit, and I should say this, you know, Sam Pittman is a wonderful human being. I wish everybody knew him like I do. That man cares about the Razorbacks. To this day, he cares about the Razorbacks, and he wants the Hogs to win, has always wanted the Hogs to win, and was a team guy, just willing to do a lot. People have no idea. He was willing to do a lot to help the team succeed. I just think there was a mix of things that really just didn't help him at all. But everybody should know and be appreciative of Sam Pittman, because he really is a terrific, wonderful human being.
So, Joe, as we walk out the door, what is next on the agenda for Joe Nichols? Any kind of other studio albums, any more acting? And please let our listeners know about the tour that is coming to Oxford, Alabama, please.
Yeah. Absolutely. So next, we just put out a new song. We dropped a new single from our album that's going to come out second quarter of next year. Okay. The song's called Goodbyes Are Hard to Listen To, and it's a stone cold country song. It's an old barroom. It's an old throwback. So if you like steel guitars and you like that barroom, it's kind of like a Broken Heartsville. You know, slow down a little bit. To me, it's like that. It's got that quality. So the crowd are loving it. Man, it's streaming really great. It's got a lot of good, support behind it right now. I'm really happy to see country music fans really embrace this really traditional song. So, got a new album coming. Don't know the title of it yet, but like I said, second quarter next year, we'll wrap up the year in a trip to Alabama. We got an Oxford, Alabama show on the 14th, I think,
yes.
Or 15th, and then the Alabama football game. I think we'll do a little something for the Alabama Oklahoma game, which will be fun, man. I've always wanted to see a game at Alabama. That's Tuscaloosa. It's off the, I don't know, the old school guy in me says off the hook. I don't know if that's the saying anymore. It's great. It's a great environment. I've always heard about it. So I finally get to see an Alabama game. It'll be a hyped up one because Oklahoma's ranked pretty high. So yeah, that'll be fun.
Joe, I would love to have you join me again that week to preview that football.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And talk about our show in Oxford, Alabama as well. That'd be great too.
Okay. All right. Well, Joe, look, man, this has been a blast. I know that you were on a time crunch. Any final words that you would like to say to our audience? The floor is all yours.
Well, first of all, I appreciate your show, Stingray. It's very, very cool talking to you. I appreciate the intro and the time, and thanks for doing your homework on some of that stuff. That's really cool to kind of relive some of those stats and memories. So I appreciate your time. Thanks for putting me on today. And I'm an SEC football guy, so I'm one of the weirdos that chants SEC because I think it's a different type of animal. You know, I think we got a really special thing with the SEC. So go SEC, but go Hogs, man. We need some good mojo. So go Hogs.
That's right. Woo Big Suey, man. Let's
Woo
go.
Woo Big Suey. That's right.
All right. Thank you, man. This has been a blast, and I will be in touch to try to get you on the week of Oklahoma and Alabama. Yeah.
You got it, brother. I appreciate that.
Joe Nichols, ladies and gentlemen, that was an absolute honor to bring you that interview and to interview him because I am a huge Joe Nichols fan. I grew up listening to his music. I know that I am on a time crunch as well, as we have got to get to Inside the Huddle with Gary Harris. So let me finish up the Stingray Show by saying, on the Tuesday evening edition of the Stingray Show, Tim Brando joins us to talk about what the ins and outs are of the LSU firing of Brian Kelly. Tim Brando, tomorrow evening at 6 p.m., I am out of here, and take it away, Gary Harris. I almost said Tim Brando, but take it away, Gary Harris, with Inside the Trenches. Catch you tomorrow night at 6 p.m. Let me tell you,